The pandemic is serving MultiChoice well. The video and entertainment group has reported a 32% jump in core headline earnings, and the group's declared an annual dividend of close to 3 billion rand. The man behind the company's money, CFO Tim Jacobs, joins us now for a closer look at the numbers and what it suggests for any future growth. Thanks so much, Tim, for your time this evening. So before we get to the future, I saw a headline doing the rounds the other day. COVID saw MultiChoice coin it, having benefited from remote working trends and the increased demand for its entertainment offering as well. And it's not many that can talk about, deriving a benefit of COVID-19. How much of a tailwind have you enjoyed over the past year?
Hello, Alicia, and thank you very much for having me on your show. I think that headline is probably a little bit misleading. I think that we have certainly benefited from having residential customers and consumers staying at home with in particular kids during the lockdown periods, and that did give us a bit of a headwind. But at the same time, we've had a number of significant challenges. Advertising revenue, for example, was impacted by the lack of live sport, so that's down 11% for the year. And of course, our commercial customers, which operate in the hospitality sector, are down 35%. So what we've done is, although we have seen some really good performance, we managed to grow our subscriber numbers by 1.4 million during the course of the year, we've also been very tight on the cost control. And I think there's a significant amount of that result that is directly attributable to that.
Yeah, of course, because all of this happens within a very competitive environment, right? One that's getting increasingly so. While, you've got to fight the onslaught of online streaming companies like Netflix. What's your battle of choice, I guess, if that's the correct phrasing, amidst it all? And to what extent has this competitive landscape triggered shifts for you?
Yeah, so that's very interesting, because we definitely are seeing, a dynamic that is moving. A lot more people are starting to move towards OTT. But in Africa, we've got the benefit of being able to see this rapid movement in highly penetrated broadband and mobile environments overseas, and watch it kind of play out in slow motion in the African continent. Data costs are still very high. Access to broadband is still low, and that means that we still have to focus on the most accessible part of our business to consumers and to customers, which is our satellite business and our DTT business in the rest of Africa. At the same time, we are working very hard on making sure that as consumers start to move more towards the internet, that products like Showmax, Showmax Pro, which includes sport, are available to our customers. And you would have heard recently, we have also, outside of the traditional business, we've announced a recent entry into what we call an expansion of our ecosystem, where we've actually moved now into a product called BetKing, or a company called BetKing. We made a 20% investment in October last year, increasing that stake now to 49%. And the intention there is to move into sports betting, which, if you look at it on an international scale, is a kind of business that firstly has a very close correlation with a pay TV operator, operates in the internet space as well. We have got the very strong sports brand called SuperSport, and of course they've got a very high growth, very high consumer driven business. So we think that there's some very exciting opportunities for us to expand that ecosystem to our customers over the next couple of years.
Of course, as you do this, you've seen your customer base expand. It's exceeded now, 20 million customers for the first time at the half year. But, as we've got telcos companies, for example, Tim, talking about ARPU levels, average revenue per user, what does that boil down for you? What kind of subscriptions or packages are you actually seeing these customers take on?
Yeah, so we've certainly seen affordability pressure at the top end of the market. So, for example, our premium base has come under pressure both in South Africa and in the rest of Africa, partly impacted by the fact that key live sport was not available for periods during the year. And I think that if we look at where we're seeing the most of our growth, it's all happening in the mass and mid-market. And that's happening kind of across the continent. very strong mass market growth in South Africa and mass and middle market growth in the rest of Africa.
So how much?
I mean, in terms of price points, probably between, I would say, $8 and maybe $20 is the kind of typical price point.
So how much more aggressive could you become with your pricing structures, Tim? Because some suggestion has been that over time, lower margins coupled with lower costs and higher customer numbers can result in much higher overall earnings potential.
Well, I think that is exactly the strategy that we followed. You'll see that our rest of Africa numbers had, we've been making some reasonably big losses when we turn to a value strategy, which is exactly this type of strategy where you're offering better value content at lower prices to your customers. But that means that you need scale. You need a lot more customers. And each year and each reporting period for the last 3 years, we've been able to demonstrate that this is the right strategy, and we've been bringing our losses in the rest of Africa down quite substantially. In the year that we've just passed, those losses were reduced by 52%.
One of the key reasons behind that, Tim, was an improvement in trading performance and then unrealized foreign exchange gains because of stronger local currencies as well. So at this point, and before I let you go, I just want to bring in the stronger rand effect on the business into play here. What's that doing in terms of your buying strategy right now? Is it influencing it in any meaningful way?
It's certainly influencing our hedging strategy. So what we would typically do when the rand was very weak, we would stay out of the market and not hedge our dollar input costs, which is, it represents about 46% of our total costs are hard input costs. And what we would typically do is stay out of the market when the rand is very weak, and then when the rand starts to strengthen like it has at the moment, we start to top up anything up to as much as 36 months out. Will be hedged out.
Okay, well, on that note, we're going to have to leave it there, Tim. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Tim Jacobs, who's CFO of MultiChoice.